CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Felix Leitz, CBS News, Moscow Times, in Moscow during the Ukraine crisis. I go immediately to Felix because there is news on Moscow Times that suggests how the Kremlin is presenting the tragedy in Ukraine to its people. Felix, a very good day to you. You are in Moscow, and the media is now acknowledging the war in Ukraine. I'm told, following the report in the Moscow Times, that Russia is putting on a program for children called Peace Defenders. What is that, Felix? Good day to you.
Good day, John. Well, yeah, you know, we see on the TV today this sort of this program being aired, I think, under the auspices of the Education Ministry, to sort of explain to people why they believe that the invasion of Ukraine was necessitated. It's very much dressed up in the sort of language of, you know, humanitarian intervention and all that. So it's very much a propaganda exercise, but one aimed at sort of the youth population. You know, this is a war that Russia, in many ways, has almost given up the propaganda campaign here. They've not really sort of been waging much of an information war, a PR offensive. Something, incidentally, I think that's been true sort of since the beginning of this crisis. There was never that much talk of sort of, war with Ukraine on the state media. And now there is, of course, because it's happening. It's a reality. It's undeniable. But it's couched in very sort of curious terms, the terms of a humanitarian intervention, of a special military operation. And under no circumstances are the words war to be used.
The reporting, we've talked about it for many weeks and months because the presumption, false it turned out, that the Kremlin would prepare the population for violence, for war, for casualties. And there was no evidence of that. Week after week, you could find no evidence on the media. Has that changed with this program? Is there now regular reporting in the evening news about the war?
Oh, well, certainly. You know, it's the dominant sort of the dominant topic on the state media right now. And and what you've seen as well is that the state media is starting at least to acknowledge the fact that there have been casualties. You know, for the first sort of 5 days of the conflict, 6 days, they essentially came out with the rather ludicrous line that essentially no one had been killed. And occasionally even local government would have to announce that one of their local men had been killed. And then they'd have to roll it back as a result of a diktat from the center. But now there is a sort of an acceptance that young Russian men are dying in Ukraine, and they say that 500 are dead. I suspect that the real figure is many, many, many times that, because the Russian government loves to sort of understate unflattering figures, shall we say. So I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more about that in future.
According to a Kremlin account, this is reported on the Moscow Times, Vladimir Putin has had a conversation with the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, in which he characterized the adversary as militants of nationalist armed groups. That's the translation into English. How is the Ukrainian army characterized? What do they say about it? What are the accusations, Felix?
Well, there was a rather extraordinary televised address by Putin after about 2 days of the war, I think, where he sort of encouraged the Ukrainian army to stage a coup against Zelensky and sort of pit itself against what he calls the sort of the armed nationalist bands, the neo-Nazi bands, whatever he likes to call them. You know, there's a lot of sort of stressing all the time that this is not an operation against the Ukrainian people, not even against the Ukrainian army. It's about sort of disarming the neo-Nazis on Ukrainian territory. You know, it's quite extraordinary verbal, mental, and intellectual gymnastics, I must say.
The foreign community in Moscow paying attention. Moscow has been integrated into commerce and finance and technology these last years. Is there evidence that the foreign community, those holding passports that are not Russian, is there evidence that they are being encouraged to leave or planning to leave because the ruble has collapsed, the economy is now in doubt?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's been, you know, widespread sort of desertion of the capital by the foreign community, really. Many, 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 many people have left. You know, there's a lot of people leaving. The airports are rather full. Foreigners in by and large are getting out at this point.
But there's been no official proclamation by the government that if you do not hold a Russian passport, you should leave. Felix, what about the internet, the communication system? Are they intact? Do you have any difficulty speaking to the outside world or getting information in from London?
Well, both Twitter and Facebook are blocked to various extents. And that's happened sort of amid this crisis. There's talk of a YouTube block as well. So I think the situation, the outlook sort of for the Russian internet really is sort of darkening very, very rapidly. In general, I think we see a sort of a move towards greater censorship. And I think that's certainly why many foreigners who are here right now are leaving. You know, there's a sense that Russia, obviously not a democracy, but in many ways a relatively free society, is soon not going to be a free society at all.
You have conversations routinely with a wide variety of Russians and people visiting Russia. Is this a surprise to people? Because I will tell you, Felix, everyone I've talked to for months is shocked at what's happened. Was this a surprise to Moscow?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think the evidence suggests that the evidence would suggest that a lot of people were surprised. There's no suggestion that any more than sort of the immediate inner circle of Putin's sort of regime really knew what was going on in the first place. So I think there was a great deal of surprise there, definitely.
Some week past, you visited Rostov, which is the largest city near to the Ukrainian eastern border, to Luhansk and Donetsk. And at that time, you reported that there was a lot of Russian military in town, but no refugees. Yep. We're now told the refugees are anywhere between 500,000 and 1 million refugees. That large number is going to complicate all European parts. So the question is, will there be Russian refugees as well? Do we know, are Russians seeking to leave Russia?
They absolutely are. A very, very, very large number are heading to places like Armenia, for instance, because, of course, you know, many countries now effectively have their airspace closed to Russian citizens. So many are heading to the few countries that remain open. These are places like Armenia, Turkey, like Georgia. So sort of near abroad countries very much, because it's getting increasingly hard to get anywhere from Russia.
Are people still going to work, even though the ruble is now declared worthless and the Russian central bank is said to be extremely, extremely challenged to find foreign currency that is reliable? Do people have money are stores selling food? Are there shortages that you can see, Felix?
There are shortages of certain products, yeah, especially sort of tech goods, you know, things like that. That's becoming increasingly hard to find, I think, for many Russians. Certainly sort of if one went to sort of an Apple store recently, it was sort of all cleared out. But then that's sort of reflective of a broader situation where simply Western companies are leaving Russia now. The sanctions are so severe, the sanctions are so sort of worrying to most companies that they weren't simply won't have anything to do with Russia in the first place.
Final image of Moscow right now. Is there noticeable change in the pedestrian traffic, in the metro, in the buses? Are people acting differently? Are people staying home? Do you see any evidence that they've changed their patterns?
Not really, I think. You know, there's one of the curious things about this whole situation has been the sense of normality that really has endured in Moscow, I think. You know, this still doesn't feel like a country at war. It's a country where if you sit in a restaurant and listen to what people are saying, there will be a lot of talk of emigration and of sort of currency problems. But this still does not feel like a country at war, I must say.
Felix Light, Moscow Times, CBS News, in Moscow, in wartime. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.